You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. The art of gun engraving is alive and well in eastern Idaho, thanks to a few dedicated cowboys. These folks are willing to put in the hours of drawing and practice required for this craft. More than 50 years ago, Dean Philbrook of Irwin, Idaho, started to study gun engraving with a mentor. And now, through the Idaho Commission on the Arts Traditional Arts Apprenticeship Program, Philbrook mentors are aspiring engravers, helping ensure a storied art tradition lives on. Producer Arlie Sommer takes us into the workshops of two cowboy artists.
Guns are a really unique piece of art in their own right, without any engraver ever touching them. The guy with the graver comes along and says, well, let me put some marks on that for you and make it fancier.
My name is Dean Philbrick. I live in Irwin, Idaho.
My name's Casey Backus. I'm a horsehair hitcher, braider, leather craftsman, and most recently trying to improve my silver engraving. I was lucky enough to meet Dean Philbrick.
I said, if you're going to come be a student of mine, don't expect me to pat you on the back every time you do something, because I'm going to tell you what you did wrong. Okay. Engraving starts with a piece of paper and pencil. If you can't draw it, you can't cut it. I've been doing this a long time, and I'm still learning.
I needed to start integrating silver work into my the products that I made. You know, you make a belt. A belt needs a buckle on it.
Okay, here we are. This okay. is my doghouse. I do my firearms engraving in here. Sit down there and get all yourself right. into it. I'll get you turned on. All right. Put another one in right there. There you go. Follow through, bring it down, stay in the middle. All the way through. For right now, what we're doing right now is trying to do a design and layout and sharpening of tools and making nice, smooth cuts. If you go to a firearms engraving show or just go to a local gun show, you'll find decorated firearms. And they're so unique. If you really look at them, you really study them. They are as individual artwork as if you had gone to an art museum and you were looking at oil paintings and sculptures.
I want to be able to make flowers and leaves, and plus working with Dean eventually, I'm hoping to hit it down the road of portrait quality engraving in steel. We're at the Bokado show. It's an art show at the art museum in Idaho Falls. Just doing a little bit of demonstration engraving. This is basically a practice plate. I've got steel, copper, and brass. They all cut a little bit different, you know, based on the hardness. The work itself is clamped in what's known as a ball vise, and it's all about just holding on to your work. What you should be doing is pushing the work into the cutter rather than pushing the cutter across the work. So it's important that this baby spin around and tilt and, you know, and you work it like that. The traditional stuff that we do is, it's functional first. I would never build something that isn't usable. It's going down a path that traditional cowboy artists, they shouldn't go.
I don't think I've ever embellished a firearm that you could not take to the range and shoot, or could take it out and plank tin cans with it or whatever, you know. But most of the time when you're done with a firearm and you put that amount of time and that much money into it, it's generally a collector's item.
With some of the firearms that are being made, the hardness of the steel is so hard that being able to cut it might entail the idea of annealing the metal to soften it a little bit so that you can cut it. Major turning point with firearms is right around the turn of the century when they came out with smokeless powder. Now all of a sudden, you know, the pressures in the chambers of these firearms skyrocketed. Now, that enabled these bullets to travel very long distances, but at the same time, the firearm has to contain the explosion. And so in step the metallurgists and the engineers, and they create these exotic materials, and they're the best of everything. And yeah, until the guy gets out his engravers, it's like, oh my gosh, this is incredibly hard.
You're getting a whole lot better control than you were a week ago, I can tell you that right now.
If you're a true artist, you're trying to perfect your technique until the day that you die, you know. I practice karate, and the group I practice karate with is very traditional Japanese. They refer to masters only people that have passed on, because while they're still alive, they're still trying to perfect something.
Every engraver has their own style, and Casey's developing his own style right now.
We'll just see how far down the road I can go. You know, there is no finish line.
And this piece was produced for the series Expressive Idaho in partnership with the Idaho Commission on the Arts, Folk and Traditional Arts Program, as well as with funding support from the National Endowment for the Arts. And I'd like to welcome gun engraver Dean Philbrick. He is joining us live by phone. And audio producer Arlie Sommer is here in studio. Thank you both for coming on the program.
Thanks for having us.
So, Arlie, I want to start with you. In this episode of Expressive Idaho, you explored the cowboy arts in eastern Idaho, but what did you learn about the character and the ethics of cowboy art?
Yeah, I learned that values and belief systems are often embedded in traditional art forms like gun engraving, and they're passed down through generations. So one of the, I think, a value that's exemplary of cowboy art is self-reliance, whether it's, hunting for your dinner or making a saddle.
So if this is based on an old way of life that we don't have anymore, what did you find that makes it relevant today?
Well, for many people living in rural Idaho, this isn't an old way of life. Mm. These art forms are very relevant. Casey spoke to the utilitarian aspect of the art form in the piece. He grew up working on ranches with horses, and his family didn't have a lot of means. So he ended up making horse gear when he needed it, or making lots of things when he needed
them. Yeah, right. So Dean, you yourself had a mentor. And why is it so important for an artist to have a mentor?
Well, everything starts out with curiosity. You want to learn, and firearms engraving involves a long time of learning. So if you can find a mentor that can push you along a little bit, get you started, you'll learn a lot faster and you'll be a much better artist.
And who's your clientele these days, Dean?
My clientele runs from the average person off the street to collectors, high-end collectors, and engraving can be expensive, but it's also affordable. So anybody that's interested in it needs to explore that and find out what they can get for their dollar, and they would be surprised.
And what are some of the images that you normally would engrave on guns?
Images? Are
yes.
you asking me?
Correct. Yes, images. Like, oh. Yeah.
Okay, animals. We do a lot of animals. We do a lot of gold inlay and silver inlay with animals and scenes. Right now I'm working on a gun. The theme is the gamblers, and it's a theme where 1920s, 1930s style people, clothing, are standing around a roulette table, and they're gambling. And this gun will have a lot of diamonds, a lot of gold, a lot of silver and inlays and stuff on it. It's going to be very, very fancy.
What do you think is the future of gun engraving? Because we know that gunmetal technology is changing and materials are hardening. Do you think that we will still continue to see this art form?
Oh, you bet. You bet. It's wide open. Our engraving guild was formed in 1987. because we were losing our younger engravers, everything was a kind of a secret trade. And so we thought, better start teaching people. So that's
right.
what the Firearms and Guild is all about today, is education.
And Arlie, what's the next episode of Expressive Idaho, and when can people hear it?
Sure. The next episode is coming out at the end of March, and it's going to be about Kawa Taiko, which is a taiko drumming group in the Treasure Valley. And they're an ensemble. Taiko is ensemble drumming, with roots in Japan. So I've been following this group, and they're composing original music.
I want to thank both of you for coming in today. We've been talking with audio producer Arlie Sommer and gun engraver Dean Philbrick. If you'd like to see photos and video and much more on our Expressive Idaho series, just go to BoiseStatePublicRadio.org. And thank you, everyone, for being a part of Idaho Matters today. Always appreciate you taking some time. Our producers are Frankie Barnhill and Samantha Wright. Our production assistant is Molly Wampler, and our intern is Chloe Ball. It is Thursday. I hope you have a great rest of your day. I'm Gemma Gaudette, and we'll see you back here tomorrow.